My guest right now is William Norris, who's managing director of the South Bank Sinfonia. And he's here today because he's at Classical Next talking about redesigning the symphony orchestra. What does that mean?
Basically, the idea of the session we held yesterday was to just ask people, if you could start from scratch, if you had no history, well, how would you build an orchestra for today? And the reason we wanted to ask that question was that, you know, we all come to lots of these conferences, and we all have great ideas, and we talk about the future, but sometimes it's hard to make the change in your organization when you get back to work, because we all have musicians to keep employed, we have audiences to keep entertained, so that sometimes makes change difficult. So the idea was, if you had no history, if you had no one to please, and no legacy, how would you just start from scratch?
And yet the orchestra is all about legacy and tradition. It's a difficult task to approach. You know, where do you start to like disassemble these layers of centuries of
Well,
history?
What we did in the session was to we had some provocations at the start of the session. So
really,
I was talking about how I don't know when, with many of your listeners will know Marks & Spencer, the high street
Indeed.
Retail chain in the UK, which is is a beloved icon, but it's not doing so well these days, and people don't really buy their clothes there very much. And I said that classical music is a little bit like Marks & Spencer, because
like a department store,
a bit like a failing department store.
Oh no,
because everyone loves Marks & Spencer. Everyone says they don't want Marks & Spencer to close down, but. Really, when did you last go to Marks & Spencer?
I used to buy sausages. Marmalade and things like that there.
So that was my provocation, and that Marks & Spencer basically overserves an aging audience while not attracting a new customer base. We also talked about whether music should play a role in social change, the needs of musicians themselves, and needs and wants of musicians, and also about venues. Do we need venues in the same way that we have them now? So once we'd laid out our provocations, we then split everyone into groups, and every group was given a different location to respond to. So some were major cities, and some were rural, and some were an ex-industrial city that was in a period of decline. And then they workshopped through various different questions to design this orchestra.
And what did you come up with? What are some of the results?
Well, it was very interesting. So we had 9 different groups. I'm not going to remember every single thing they came up with. But one of the ones that's really struck me was one that was going to be formed, I think it was 150 adult players and 100 children players, which I thought was a fun model. And we had orchestras that would dispense with venues entirely and would just play anywhere. We had orchestras that would do a lot digitally. And lots of people, we asked a question around what's the balance between artistic excellence and social relevance and impact, and many of the people thought it wasn't a choice between one or the other, that both those things are important. So there were some really great ideas, and lots of them around flexibility and not being tied to a concert season, 30, 40 concerts. So there were some great ideas there, and I hope we can all go back and maybe implement one or two things that
I
came out of our sessions.
Are good and laudable goals, but I can also imagine getting resistance from fundraisers and from some of the musicians themselves, even.
It's quite possible, yes. So although with fundraisers, often the new ideas are the most fundable ones. So it's sometimes hard to get funding for just another concert.
One tends to think, the subscribers are going to rebel, elderly.
Exactly the fear. And I think that's what makes it difficult, because you don't want to lose your existing audience.
Of course not.
Which is why it's hard to make change in an existing organization. But I think the people, audiences are changing so fast, and expectations of people are changing so fast. We need to make change if we're going to survive as a sector.
Can you give me an example from your own Sinfonia of something you've done to change?
Well, we have a series called Concert Lab, which is all about experimenting with how concerts are staged and produced. And we do about 4 or 5 of these a year. And it's exactly what the name suggests. It's a place we can experiment. So the last one, we played a Beethoven symphony, but we were in a venue that was more used to putting on gigs. And we exploded the orchestra out across the venue. So they were spread out, and they were on podiums.
Yes.
So you could just wander around as they played and get up close and take your Instagram pictures of the orchestra. And it was great, because it was a very unusual project, because I think people who are new to classical music got as much out of it as people who knew classical music, because people who were already into it loved getting up close to the musician and seeing the music.
Not something you can usually do.
No, and but the people who are new to it just loved that idea of being inside the orchestra. That was a lot of fun. And the musicians were a little bit hesitant at the start. It was an uncomfortable position for them to be in, spread out from each other and from the conductor. But by the end of it, they absolutely loved it.
Did you use amplification? How did you manage to keep everyone together?
We just worked really hard at it.
You worked really hard. It sounds great.
Yeah.
What a terrific idea. It's a good example of how, you know, like kind of exploding the orchestra, things can work. I hesitate to imagine what Beethoven would have thought.
I reckon he would have loved it. He would have loved seeing the audience respond to something in a very genuine way.
Would he have been glad to get rid of that fourth wall?
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Anything, what's your next project to keep orchestras relevant?
The Concert Lab series is continuing, and we are looking forward to a project. It's this autumn, and we're going to be working with a movement director, and we're going to be memorizing music. So we're both going to be moving the orchestra around and playing it from memory, and that's going to be an unconventional space.
Sure.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we worked with this movement director before at the National Theatre, and we enjoy working with her a lot. Her name's Imogen Knight. I think that should be. It's definitely going to push the boundaries of what our musicians can do.
That sounds great.
Yep.
I'm here with William Norris from the South Bank Symphonia. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We're going to turn to Barfer Stratton, Hide and Seek. Thank you. That was Barbra Streden, Hide and Seek.